Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. This is the bonus show, the show after the show, the mini show I bring to you on a mostly bi-weekly basis to help bridge the gap between proper Disgraceland episodes. I use this mini spin-off series to briefly discuss the most recent episodes, Disgraceland subjects in the news, and to share extra content, deleted scenes, future episode ideas, and basically anything connected to the greater Disgraceland universe. And finally, I answer the occasional email and provide context on music I'm listening to, books I'm reading, and other culture I'm devouring at the moment, as this seems to be a constant question from you guys on social media. Jake, what are you listening to? What are you reading, watching, etc.? All right, let's get into it. Happy New Year. If you watched the latest episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and really if you haven't, are you even really alive? I don't know. Then you know it's way too late to be wishing you a Happy New Year, but I haven't talked to you guys since before the holidays, and there is a lot going on. First off, Disgraceland won the Best Music Podcast Award last weekend out in Los Angeles at the iHeart Podcast Awards, beating out my hero Rick Rubin, T.I., and others. Awards are kind of silly, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me feel good. And the amount of naysayers at the beginning of this project were plenty, and it's gratifying to know that the concept was a good bet, and to know that the hard work that me and my team puts into each episode is appreciated. But the hard work only goes so far. The award is also about you, the audience, and the incredible support you've shown the show over the last 2 years since we launched. So I was too nervous to say all that during my acceptance speech because Will Ferrell had me all flustered. But I want you to know how much I appreciate you guys. I really do. Thank you for your support. It means a lot. So when we last talked, we were talking about Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys and Charles Manson in Hollywood in the wake of the Tate LaBianca murders. The feedback on both of those episodes has been tremendous. Thanks everyone for shouting it out. It's safe to say that the two-parter on the Beach Boys and the Manson family is my favorite. Lots of new listeners joining us now, so in case you missed the two-part finale of season 4, here's a clip from episode 48 on Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. Elsewhere throughout Hollywood on that morning, the telephones kept ringing. The news was fresh and spreading fast. Bob Evans got the news from George Hamilton, who got the news from Joan Didion, who heard it from Lenny Dunn. Lenny, whose husband Dominic was on the other coast producing a film, got all the news first. Bob called Warren, who called Jack, who called no one, but went into the next room of the Playboy Mansion he'd woken up in to tell anyone who would listen. Dennis Hopper wasn't shocked. He knew something like this was coming. It further fueled his paranoia. He told Peter Fonda, of course, who got word to Cassavetes, who called Mia, who told Frank. Frank blew a gasket, went all alpha, and called the boys in Chicago, who shook their heads and dismissed the whole thing as hippy-dippy bullshit. The Sinatra sisters told Big Nancy, who told Frank Jr., who hid in his room and pissed himself a little. His father would kill him if he found out. So he told his mom about his pissed jeans, and Big Nancy had the maid take care of it, and then called Lenny, who, of course, already had the news hours ago, and hung up, annoyed, on Mrs. Frank Sinatra to call Mr. Patricia Kennedy, a.k.a. Peter Lawford, down in Palm Springs, who was trying to get through to Rona Barrett to find out what in the hell was happening up in Hollywood. Rona's phone was ringing off the hook, of course, and when it wasn't, she was dialing everyone in her Rolodex for answers. Paul Newman had none. He was shook. His friend Jay Sebring was murdered with his friend Sharon Tate. Why? Paul picked up the phone to try to get some answers of his own. He dialed. The phone rang and rang and rang some more. And finally, it was answered. On the other end, Jay Sebring and Paul Newman's mutual friend, Steve McQueen, spoke.
What?
Paul could tell by the vinegar in Steve's voice that he just rousted McQueen from a thick, drunken sleep. Steve, wake up. It's Paul. Jay's dead. Murdered. With Sharon. Steve McQueen, convinced he was in the middle of a bad dream, quickly hung up the phone. He blinked his eyes as his cobweb mind snapped to. Fuck, wait, what? Wait a minute. What the hell is that all about? Was that Newman? Steve didn't have Paul Newman's number, so he couldn't call him back. He then tried Jay again.
Damn it!
McQueen slammed the receiver down into its handle. Pocahontas spoke up, asked her one-night leading man what the matter was. He promptly told her to shut up and go back to bed. She got hip and took the direction. Steve then picked up the phone and dialed the number of his one other friend who might know what the hell was going on up at Cielo Drive. His acid buddy, his fellow skirt chaser and gearhead, his friend with the gonorrhea and the twitchy guru. The Beach Boys, Dennis Wilson. All right, that was, like I said, a clip from part two of the Beach Boys episode that caps season four. Season five will be back in March, but before that, my new series, The 27 Club, is launching in just a few days on Monday, January 27th. The entire first season is on Jimi Hendrix, and here is a sneak peek. Jimi Hendrix felt the desperate muscled arms wrapped tight around his left leg. He looked down to search for the source of the squeeze. His eyes squinted from the lights on stage and from the warped color swirls that were being projected on the walls and ceiling. It was like he was playing psychedelic R&B inside the opening title sequence of Hitchcock's Vertigo. The grip tightened as Jimmy's eyes focused on the one and only Jim Morrison of The Doors, one of the biggest bands on the planet at the time, slumped against Jimmy's legs and holding on for dear life. Mr. Mojo rising, apparently not doing all that much rising at the moment. The Lizard King groping the Voodoo Child. Jimmy tried to shake him off, but Jim Morrison wasn't going anywhere. He hollered nonsense from the stage floor, drunken, out-of-key nonsense. This leather pant-wearing barnacle shrieking like a counterculture banshee. Jimmy could smell him. The Lizard King was drunk, skunked. He had to get this sauced asshole off his leg and off the stage. And that was a quick look at the first episode of my new series, The 27 Club. Season 1 features Jimi Hendrix. Season 2 will be 12 episodes on Jim Morrison. And then we'll get into seasons on Janis Joplin, Pigpen from The Grateful Dead, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, and more. I'm super excited to host a serialized podcast. Episodes will be released weekly, and this show hopefully will satiate your Jones for Disgraceland content. It's being produced very similarly with me behind the mic, and just a deeper dive, and I really hope you dig it. The trailer is available now in the new 27 Club feed on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please search 27 Club in the Apple app and subscribe now. Okay, back in a flash. All right, guys, I haven't been in your feeds, but I have been busy regardless, working on the new season for Disgraceland, and I'll be revealing the full season lineup of subjects shortly, but as I've already let slip, the season kicks off with a two-parter on Guns N' Roses. A band with a singer, Axl Rose, who fascinates me, a rock star's rock star. All the good, twice the bad, serious pipes, one great album, a bunch of okay but interesting stuff, and a whole lot of baggage and arrest to sift through. In a lot of ways, Axl's a perfect subject. Here's a clip of the upcoming debut episode for season 5 of Disgraceland. The band was generally a mess. They were basically homeless. Guns N' Roses squatted in the rehearsal space, a one-car-sized storage unit off of Sunset Boulevard behind the Sunset Grill. And they slept among their gear. There was no kitchen and no bathroom. But there was a constant party. When not rehearsing, which they did all the time, they'd get high and get drunk on Night Train with the horrors from down on Hollywood Boulevard, and party with members of Faster Pussycat, Red Cross, and Thelonious Monster, bands who liked to mix it up together, but likely never shared space on anyone's mixtape. Soon, young kids from the Valley started showing up to listen to the band rehearse. Steven and Slash would play nice for a bit and scam them out of their money under the guise of procuring drugs for them. Axl didn't have time for such pretenses. He would just roll them for whatever cash he could get. Young women, valley girls, and prostitutes alike were subjected to a get naked or leave policy. And the fucking would spill out into the alley. And while little suburban valley boys realized their fantasies and got with the professionals from Hollywood and Vine, the guys in the band would empty their pants pockets for their cash and clean out the purses of the less suspecting prostitutes. Word on the strip spread. There was a party going on, and it was wild. And that's from part one of the Guns N' Roses episode coming your way in March. I'll be sharing more in future after-party episodes leading up to the season 5 launch in the coming weeks. Lots of content coming your way. As most of you guys know, I've started a production company called Double Elvis, which is the brand we're launching the 27 Club under, as well as a slew of other shows with other hosts, other creatives with something to say. Not all of these shows will be music related, but most will, and all of them will be culture related. You'll recognize some of the hosts' names, while others will be fresh voices with new, exciting, unheard stories. Chelsea Ursin is one of those voices. Her new show, Dear Young Rocker, is an incredible rock and roll coming-of-age story from the perspective of a young, independent-minded woman navigating her way through her awkward teenage years. If you grew up listening to Smashing Pumpkins and blasting Jay Mascis riffs, then this show is for you. Or better still, it's for your kid. Check out Dear Young Rocker and all the shows from Double Elvis by following at Double Elvis on Instagram. Okay, back in a flash.
We'll be right back after this word.
Okay, my favorite part of the show, what I'm listening to, what I'm watching, and what I'm reading. First of all, I'm re-listening to both seasons of the Up and Vanish podcast by Payne Lindsay and Tenderfoot TV. Why, might you ask, would I be re-listening to two full seasons of a true crime podcast that I've already heard in my dwindling spare time? You're going to have to wait to find out, but it's for a good reason, one that I think you and the ghost of Jerry Garcia will be highly interested in learning about. I've also been listening to a ton of Jay-Z and artists that I love. Particularly, I've been listening to the Kanye collabs and the Black Album. And you can pretty easily guess why I'm stuffing my ears with the God MC, but you'll have to wait until I make it official in the next few episodes of The After Party. I've also been listening to the album Dreamer by Bobby Blue Bland. Ain't No Love in the Heart of a City is a crushing song, that riff, and it led me into this whole album, which just completely transplants you back into the urban decay of the early 1970s. And I love it. Check it out. I've watched a bunch of the Oscar-nominated films. Still haven't seen Uncut Gems, but I've seen Marriage Story, great. Irishman, great. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, also great. And The Joker, holy shit, The Joker, so damn good. I know the stories, ins and outs from living here in Boston and being a Pats fan, but that new Netflix series on Aaron Hernandez has me hooked in. I cannot stop watching it. It's done really well and should satiate the Patriots haters everywhere. And also, while we're on the subject, go handsome Jimmy G. Good luck next week. I'm reading a gazillion articles on Little Richard right now and about to start the Charles White biography on him. And that's about it. That's all I'm reading. That's what I'm watching. That's what I'm listening to. And I will be back in uno momento. Okay, the best part of these after party episodes, me reading from the phone book. In honor of the 27 Club's first subject, Jimi Hendrix, we're going to delve into his hometown of Seattle. From back in the day, here we go. Glenday, AR4309 Eastern, MEIRSE-1848. Glen, EULA, R6515 38th Street, Rainier, 4138. Glen, Geraldine, 905 Olympic Way, GA, Arfeld-1617. Glen H, AR-4017, Dayton, ME, Earth-9426. Mrs. Sadie T. Glenn, R-616-20th, North, East-3836. TM, Glenn, 3278-36 Southwest, WE Street-0254. Walter M. Glenn, R-1426, E Valley, East Street-3530. Mrs. J. A. Glenn, 317 West 80th, Sunset-5202. Kathleen Glenn, 642 West 83rd, Sunset-5244. Glen Falls Indemnity, Glen Falls Insurance Company, Coleman Building, Mass, IN-0423. Emil Glens, 1116 North 84th, Vermont-2478. MJ Coplayer, 2203 First Street, EL Lot 2546. Marius J. Glara, 1623 21st Street, Northeast Street-3826. Jimi Hendrix, the greatest guitar player of all time, was a busy guy. Busy being kidnapped, busy running from the mafia, busy stealing trucks with Neil Young trying to get to Woodstock on time. Jimmy got busy with himself and got himself kicked out of the army. Fired by Little Richard, arrested by Seattle cops and Canadian Mounties, dosed by his manager and haunted by the ghosts of Brian Jones. All of these Jimi Hendrix stories and more are coming at you in season one of the 27 Club. The 27 Club is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator and host of Disgraceland, the first and only music and true crime podcast, and voted one of Apple Podcasts' best of 2019. If you like Disgraceland, then do as Jimi Hendrix so wisely advised and watch out for your ears. The 27 Club is going to bring you even deeper into the lives of the iconic musicians you know and love. Each season will focus on one artist who became a member of rock and roll's most infamous club, the morbidly exclusive 27 Club, by dying, sometimes mysteriously, at the age of 27. Season 1 features 12 episodes on Jimi Hendrix. Future seasons will cover the lives and too-soon deaths of Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain, Robert Johnson, Amy Winehouse, and many, many more. The 27 Club is a weekly show. Episodes are roughly 30 minutes, and like Disgraceland, this is an adult storytelling podcast. It is not for children. The 27 Club, a serialized podcast about iconic rock stars who died at the age of 27, launches with season one on January 27th, 2020, and is hosted and produced by me, Jake Brennan, for Double Elvis in partnership with iHeartRadio. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Come, join the club. All right, that was the trailer for The 27 Club, the new show that launches this Monday, January 27th on Apple Podcasts or the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. That's where you can subscribe. Please go do so now. And if you're interested, I encourage you to listen to this new trailer from Dear Young Rocker, podcast by Chelsea Ursin that I mentioned before, another Double Elvis production. You can hear that and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts, just like usual. Here comes Chelsea Ursin, Dear Young Rocker. I'll see you guys on Monday with the 27 Club. Later.
Remember how the 14-year-old version of yourself felt? The awkwardness, the insecurity, the weirdo in you, fiercely independent, but longing to connect with someone, with anyone. That sucky feeling of knowing that who you are on the inside doesn't match what people see on the outside. If you could write to that kid, what would you say? Dear Young Rocker, you live in a different time. It's the early 2000s. Nu metal videos are on MTV. You spend hours typing to strangers in AIM chat rooms. And you dress like a raver, even though you don't really know what a rave is. I'm Chelsea Ursin. Join me on my podcast, Dear Young Rocker, where each week I write a letter to myself as she brings us back into the intensity of adolescence. Falling in love with your favorite song, the way only a teenager can. Getting up the nerve to join a band. Struggling with anger and body issues. Crushing on someone so hard you can't breathe around them. Experiencing how truly awful a first kiss can be. Feeling like you could burst into a flaming ball of anger or sadness or both at any second. Making a decision that could cost you your friends, your band, and your entire social life. Dear Young Rocker, you're not alone. You lived through it. You're living through it now. You got this, kid. Dear Young Rocker Season 1 launches January 15th, 2020 on the iHeartRadio Podcasts Network. Dear Young Rocker comes to you from Double Elvis Productions. It's created and hosted by me, Chelsea Ursin, and is executive produced by Jake Brennan of Disgraceland. Listen and subscribe to Dear Young Rocker on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quit talking and start mixing.
Cut!